Hello, beautiful souls. Welcome back to Love, Sex, and Magic with me, your host, Melissa Wells. And today we are talking all things building a personal brand. So I am joined with the one and only Jessica Zweig, the CEO of the Simply Be Agency, a premier personal branding firm based in Chicago, serving clients around the globe. The Simply Be Agency helps its clients, ranging from corporate executives to entrepreneurs and creatives, in becoming recognized industry experts and thought leaders. Jessica facilitates sold-out workshops and global masterminds and speaks on the power of personal branding to corporations such as Google, Verizon, Campbell's, Salesforce, Pinterest, Morningstar, Mars, Blackstone, EQ Office, Motorola, Beam, Suntory, Nike, Red Bull, the Chicago Tribune, Virgin, and Bank of America, amongst hundreds of others. On a mission to debunk the perception that personal branding is an act of vanity, Jessica believes that when done right, personal branding is an act of service, a social responsibility, and a positive investment towards a positive future. So if you are someone who is building your personal brand right now, if you're someone that maybe feels like they want to build a personal brand, or if you're someone that's already far along the journey of having a personal brand, this episode is for you. Let's dive in. Jessica, welcome to Love, Sex, and Magic. It's so good to have you here.
It's so good to be here, Mel. I'm so happy to finally get a chance to meet you and be with you.
Likewise, I'm so excited for everything we're going to talk about today. And we don't have that many guests that come on to speak about this topic. And yet I know it's something that so many listeners, so many of our audience will really want to know about.
Beautiful.
So we're going to dive into all things personal branding today.
Yay.
So from your perspective, as someone who has built this incredible personal brand and huge personal branding agency, why do you think a personal brand is so important these days? And like, how have you seen like the rise of the personal brand in recent years?
Such a good question. I mean, I can only, you know, I'll speak to my own realization of the power of a personal brand. You know, I've been an entrepreneur now for, I want to say 15 years. I'm older than I look, I think.
And
I started my business in 2008, and I ran a magazine for 7 years. And it was a very popular online lifestyle magazine in Chicago for women. And I left in 2014 to start my own little consultancy. I was really burnt out, had a toxic relationship with my business partner. It had run its course. The 7 years had sort of come to a close. And I knew I wanted to go off and start my own next business, but I had no strategy. I had no website. I had no like product. I just wanted to help people. And, you know, you can call that consulting, essentially getting paid for your time, right? And I left this very popular magazine to go off on my own to start this little one woman army called the Simply Be Agency. I named it after my tattoo. Yeah. And within a month, literally, this is a true story, I had more money, I had more clients, I had more abundance and opportunity than I had ever had in my career. Mm. And that was my aha moment.
That's alignment right
there. It was. It really was. It was a true, I had kind of crashed and burned before that decision to leave a business that you had built. Mm-hmm. And you know, you're an entrepreneur, your business isn't separate from you, it is you. So to leave that magazine was a really big decision. I had to hire a coach. I had to do a lot of self-work to like trust that decision. And that moment really taught me the power of my own personal brand, that I had one. People knew me as much as they knew the magazine. Mm. They really understood that there was value in Jessica and the equity in my name and reputation. And I hadn't even meant to do that. It was an accident, basically. So I thought to myself, well, fuck, like, what just happened? I did this by accident. What would it look like if I got really intentional and started to build a personal brand that was in alignment with who I had become, that was of service, most of all, that was clear and consistent? Like, what would happen then? Mm-hmm. And it really just continued to expand from there. And I had learned from my magazine days, I was working with major brands as our clients, like Nike and Coca-Cola and Miller Coors, like major Fortune 500s, and learning sort of the ropes of the digital marketing sphere from these major companies for 7 years. I was like, well, what if I took what I learned there and helped people get online and do it in a way that was strategic and effective, but really deeply authentic.
Mm. And what year was this? Because, go on.
2015.
Okay. Yeah. And this was like, having a personal brand was still a relatively new concept for people, right?
Very much.
I don't think the influencer market had really hit by then.
Not at all. No, yeah. No. It was rising.
Yeah.
And, you know, I it's so funny you say that because I feel like I struck when the iron was hot. So mm-hmm. what happened was in 2015, launched the business, got a bunch of clients. I was, you know, opportunistic, taking anything that would come my way. If you were a major corporation, if you were a non-for-profit, I just was like, the money started coming and I didn't really have a clarified business model. 2 years in, I really got clear that I wanted to do personal brands. I really was interested in people and bringing more, you know, consciousness and spirituality and authenticity to the internet. Like brands and products can't do that as well as human beings can.
Yeah. I always say this to my clients. It's like, people want to buy from people. People want to work with people.
Exactly.
So like, we have to be willing to show ourselves and put ourselves into our personal brand, which I know is what you are all about.
Yes.
And I feel like there's kind of there's a stigma almost around like personal branding or maybe influencing. And I'm sure you can tell us like the difference between the two, but being quite vain and quite like, here, it's all about me. It's all about me. And you're actually it's about being of service,
yes.
But we have to like show ourselves in order to get there.
Yes. It's exactly what I wrote about my book, like spot on. I mean, there's a stigma and a perception that personal branding is an act of ego and vanity and self-promotion. Mm-hmm. And that's true for a lot of people out there. But if you're doing it correctly, according to, you know, Simply Be, if you will, you're showing up to serve, period. And we all have a very unique reason for being here, as you know, right? We're all not here by accident at this time right now on planet Earth. We have a divine responsibility to show up and to use our gifts and our own unique DNA to impact the world. And we all have the power to do that, each and every one of us. I don't care how big or small your platform is. If you're not even online, you have the ability to touch people and change lives because we all touch people. And so our work is really about helping people just get clear on what those gifts are and
beautiful.
Articulating them and naming them and being able to communicate them into the world in a way that is consistent and clear and strategic.
Yeah.
But it starts within.
Definitely. You said something earlier, which was something around, we are our business.
Yeah.
Now, I completely understand that and know exactly what you mean. And then there's been other times where I'm like, I am a person and I also have a brand, but like, I'm not a brand, you know?
Yeah, totally.
Like, how do we discern the difference? Because I think that comes up for a lot of people when they think about sharing themselves. They're like, well, I don't want to share everything. How much do I share? How much do I keep?
Yeah.
And are people going to think that I'm not a real person because I'm just putting this brand out there and this business out there all the time?
Yeah.
What's your take on that?
I think it's both. I think there's power in having a personal brand, even if your business is not your brand. If you think about, I don't know, the women that just came to mind are like Whitney Wolf of Bumble, Payal Kadakia of ClassPass, the SoulCycle founders, right? Like, people are interested in story and why this business is really here. And nobody can communicate that like a face or a founder that connects on a different level. Like, am I going to buy, you know, I'm going to go to SoulCycle because of the founders? No, I go because it's a great workout, but I'm connected to the brand because I've heard those women on podcasts and I've watched them on their, you know, their YouTube talk videos, hearing their story of sisterhood and struggle and camaraderie and what they really created the brand for. And it makes me that much more connected. Mm. So I think that there's power in both.
I love that. And what you're saying is like, you can still have a personal brand and be a founder of something that's not anything to do necessarily with you showing up and sharing all of your stuff.
No,
you know, so
exactly.
Like, there's a difference between having a personal brand and being, let's say, an influencer or a coach.
Yes. I mean, I think that there's a beautiful industry burgeoning, right? The coach industry, the influencer world, all of those people need personal brands at the end of the day, because you're the business and you have to show up like fully authentic and clear. And that's our, I would give this advice to anyone, whether you're the face and founder of a bigger company, whether you're a coach or you're putting out an influencer brand to monetize, you have to have a clear value for your community. No one really cares that much about you at the end of the day. We come to social media and podcasts like this because we are looking to gain something for ourselves. And that's a beautiful thing. That's human nature. It doesn't make us selfish. That makes us human. So when you architect a message that is of service and of value and it's clear, check, you're doing it right. But you also want to show your humanity. You also want to show yourself. And this is where the line gets blurred, I think. People are confused of how vulnerable should I get or how much do I share. And as long as you're sharing, like, I'll just use you for example, because I've been following your content and your audience knows you, you're very vulnerable. You're very transparent about what's going on in your life, from your breakup to your relationship to your pregnancy to your business that you're building, the lifestyle you're living. And it's not like, hey, look at me, you know, my life's so, you know, so much more interesting than the next person's. Everything you create, Mel, is for your audience. Like when you did that reel showing the emotions you've been going through in your first trimester, for example, I was like, I feel so served by that.
Oh,
that it's that I'm not alone in that experience, and that, you know, someone is successful and dynamic can have raw emotions of depression and anxiety. There is a fine line of oversharing. You're not doing it, but people, I think, get confused of what, you know, what's for everyone and what's just for them.
Yeah.
And I think if you're architecting it with service, you're doing it well.
Yeah. Thank you for that. And thank you for saying that. And I have to share, like, you know, for me as someone that's been building a business and a personal brand for, I mean, maybe like 8 or 9 years now.
Yeah.
I definitely feel like the longer you, like, it takes time.
It does.
To be like, to know how to be fully authentic and to know how to be like fully yourself. It's not just something that you're like, oh, here I am on Instagram just being fully myself from day one.
Not at all.
You know, like the first kind of, the first couple of years of creating my brand, I was very much like, I was a health coach and I wanted to create this beautiful picture of like healthy food and like healthy living and gorgeous branding. And after like a certain amount of time doing that, I realized, oh, I'm actually not sharing the full picture here. I'm sharing like a perfect image. I'm sharing like, I want people to think that I live this like super healthy lifestyle all the time and nothing ever goes wrong. And I started to feel like there's these two different versions of me. There's me behind the scenes and then there's me that I show online. And it started to feel really challenging and really inauthentic. And I think, is that just something that like a lot of people have to go through on their way?
Absolutely. I think so. Yeah. I mean, you have to, I went through that. I mean, I would imagine that when you really started incorporating more of you into your business, it expanded.
Completely.
Like, right?
As soon as I started being honest, as soon as I started just, I think we forget that like people want people.
Yes.
And there's, I've never met a single one-dimensional person, right?
No.
There are so many different parts to everyone's personality.
Yeah.
And no part of you that you were afraid to share is gonna scare your people away.
No, absolutely. Your people, that's the key.
Exactly.
Your right people.
Yeah.
Because if you share something or are truly yourself, moreover, you're going to repel and you're gonna magnetize at the same time. You're not meant to be for everyone. You really have to accept that and step forward into that courage, because it is scary to be fully yourself and fully seen in the light. And when you give yourself the permission to do that, as you have done, as I have done, you start to magnetize your people, and that's the only people that you truly need. Mm. You know, you start to repel those that are not in alignment or don't get your vibe or don't like it. That's okay.
Totally.
You're not supposed to please the world. You're here for your own unique mission to serve your people, and they'll find you when you are really stepping into who you truly are. Mm. I mean, I was so out of alignment for so many years. I was running this magazine, I was partying, I was never cool in high school. It was like my trauma in middle school. And then all of a sudden here I was in my 20s running the most popular online magazine for women in the city of Chicago, was invited to every party, went to all the nightclubs, got into any restaurant. I thought I was like somebody. And I was living from this place of ego, unconscious ego. And I was sick and I was depressed and I was mentally not okay. I had toxic relationships left, right, and center. And that's really ultimately why I left that magazine, because it just was so out of alignment. I couldn't do it anymore. And when I decided to start Simply Be, I was like, I'm going to do this really differently this time. I'm going to tell the truth. I'm going to be myself. I'm going to use my expertise to make money, but I'm going to share the dark and open up about what it's really like to run a business and my own journey and really knowing myself and stepping forward on my spiritual path. And that is when I started to magnetize my right team, my clients, my friends. I met my husband at that time. Like everything in my life actually shifted when I was able to really let go of that perfect picture, because it felt very polarizing. I was sharing an image online and to some degree in the real world when I would interface with people. But when I'd go home, it was a very different story.
Yeah. Yeah. And how did you overcome that? Like what steps did you take in order to really like be able to then step into your authentic self? Because I know that it hasn't been easy.
No.
I know that it's not easy.
No, it's not. You know, step one was removing people from my life that made me feel like I had to dim my light, which wasn't easy. I hired a life coach. She was such a permission slip for me. Mm. I started meditating. I started listening to my inner voice. I started journaling. I started going down the spiritual path in an even deeper way. I've always been connected, but I, you know, explore plant medicines. I've worked with so many different healers, like really, really took that journey within to know myself. Mm. And I had to let go of a lot of fear of what people thought of me along the way. You know, I think it's really easy to project and judge people. And I felt that, and it blocked me and held me back from really expressing myself for a while. And I had to let a lot of that go. I found my tribe. You know, I think it's so hard to human to be an entrepreneur, but to be a woman and to find your girlfriends, to find your people that lift you up, that support you and clap for you when you win as much as when you're down and hold you, like finding friends like that. Yeah. It's been a whole collective process. But I think it's the most important process that we can ever go on, not to build a business, but to take the journey within, to know yourself.
Completely.
And when you arrive there, not that it's a destination, but when you take that journey, you're able to show up with that much more courage.
Beautiful. I think for me, like the end goal or the aim of a personal brand, for at least what I think when I, because obviously I meet so many people that also have personal brands, and it's been such a long journey for me. I think my aim has always been like, I want the Instagram to match the person. Like, sure. I want to feel like what I am online is who I am, and I want the two to match up.
Yeah.
You know, I never want someone to meet me and be like, oh, she's completely different.
Like the worst like, feeling, right? What? When you meet people like that you love and follow on the social, and then you meet them in real life, you're like, oh,
ouch. Yeah, exactly. So I never ever want to have that experience.
Yeah.
I don't enjoy having that experience, and I don't want people to have that experience for me. And I've had experiences in my past where I've tried to like create the perfect Instagram grid and da da da, and then I just feel like, wait, this is not me. I feel trapped. I can't do this.
Totally.
I need to change this.
We are hostages to our grids at times.
Yeah, and people always love to ask me like, you know, what was like the key to your success? Like, when did things really take off? Like, was it a specific program? Was it a specific book? And I'm like, it was just the more I stepped into being myself and the more I stepped into my most real, honest truth and authenticity.
Yes.
You know, like from having this brand that was like the perfect health coach and the green smoothies and the salads and all the recipes and the yoga and da da da. And then as soon as I was like, actually, guys, you know, this is my life and I'm still like overcoming an eating disorder and actually this is too perfect and I'm breaking free from this.
Yeah.
You know, and stepping into self-love and intuitive eating. And as soon as I was like, as soon as I started actually being more real for myself and for my people,
yeah,
it was like clients, totally. Clients, book deals, speaking events, like things started taking off. And I feel like almost in a way, something similar happened last year when like I went through this breakup, right? And it was such a huge catalyst for my growth, such a huge initiation. And I was like, how on earth am I going to share this? Like, this is like the most, such a traumatic, hard thing.
Yeah,
I was like, it's going to actually, like, I was so proud of myself because I was like, it's going to feel harder for me to lie about this and pretend.
Totally.
Or like gloss it over.
Yeah.
It feels way harder for me to be inauthentic about this and just be like, you know, this has ended and, you know, whatever, like, very grateful, move on. You know? And then I was like, actually, it just feels really right and really authentic to just be real with like, this is what happens sometimes and this is, sometimes this happens and it's shit and it's hard and I'm going to work through it and here we are.
Yeah.
And I think people were really grateful for just the realness.
Totally. I think that's what people want more than anything, more than they even realize. What I loved so much about, I mean, I was there for it when that happened to you. You did take a few weeks. Like you mentioned, like, I'm going through some things and I'm going to share in time.
Yeah.
And I think that's really an important point that, you know, the internet, as I was once told years ago, is not a place to process.
Mm.
It's a place to it's a place to share wisdom and experiences and to add value.
Mm.
And not to say that you can't show up and in the moment, but you really took that time for yourself before you got on to really speak about it with clarity, even though you were still in it. And I appreciated that. I just went through a depression in January and February. I took 2 months almost off of Instagram. I did a lot of work. I did ketamine. I did talk therapy. I did a lot of unraveling. And I haven't actually shared this with my community, but I'll share it on your show. And I have a podcast myself, and my audience expects me to be really authentic and to share what's going on in my world too. But I couldn't share that in real time, right?
Mm-hmm.
I had to really, really process and go through that for me. But I know that what I went through, and now that I'm slightly coming out on the other side of it, feeling much better, I have something of value to offer my community now so that they, I'm sure many of them experience that too. And so for me to get on and talk about in detail, which I plan to do next month on my show, now that I'm past it, will be relatable, will be a safe space, will make them feel less alone, right? Because we all go through breakups. We all go through heartache. We all go through depression and anxiety and struggle. And so this is what I was saying earlier of, if you come on and make sure that you're delivering it in a way that is not just about you, but about what your audience needs, which is why I've resonated so much with your content, because it's so real for you, but you're talking to so many women, Mel, who've experienced heartbreak too.
Mm.
I mean, years ago, and I was like, I've been there.
Yeah.
And I feel proud of her, and I feel proud of myself for how far I've come and how far she's gonna go. I mean, and we've met just today, and there's this connection because you're so real and authentic. And I know that my audience feels that way about me too, because I can't hide it. But it can also be about timing, and you have permission, speaking to your community, to do things and share things when you are ready.
Thank you. I love that.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's people listening that are like, wait, do I have to share everything? I really don't want to.
Yeah.
You know?
Totally.
You know, there's certain things that you absolutely don't have to share. So when it comes to a personal brand, babe, like, what are the most important elements, and what is like kind of optional? Like, how far do people have to go?
Totally. So I wrote about this in my book, okay?
Yes.
And this is one of our cornerstone frameworks at Simply Be. So I've created and trademarked a tool called the Personal Brand Hologram. And all my tools are named after magical, spiritual, cosmic spaces and whatnot. But the Personal Brand Hologram is the first tool. It's the step one. It's your message. Everything else comes from your brand, your strategy, your tactics, your execution. But you have to have a clarified message first. I believe that clarity is king today. There's a lot of noise. Everyone's clamoring for attention and audience. And the way to pierce through that is through clarity. And so the hologram essentially is a circle in the middle with four boxes around the circle. And then in the circle in the center is what we call your brand headline. So it's like your slogan, your tagline, like what's the feeling, what's the thing, what's the experience, the emotion in a sentence or less that you want someone to feel or think of when they hear your name. Ooh. Okay, and that's tricky. It's one of the hardest places to get to.
Yeah.
The magic of clarity, I mean, to your question, comes in those four pillars. They're called brand pillars. And you only get four of them. It's, again, about clarity and depth at the same time. And we've found that four is that sweet spot to really understand what are the pillars of which your brand is going to stand on. What are the content topics, if you will, that you're going to speak to and own and say in dynamic and new ways, but consistently over and over and over and over again. That's how you create brand awareness and marketing and clarity, is that consistency. And so to your question, you're not meant to share your whole life. That's actually really unstrategic too, because then you just come off like a hot mess like I did when I was first starting my business. But you have to choose with discretion and with intention what you want the market to know you for. And you don't owe your life in a glass case to the internet. You get to choose. And so the aim of the hologram is to empower you to choose things that share your expertise, why someone would hire you, spend money on you, why you're great at what you do, but also who you are and what would make you relatable and trustworthy and likable at the same time. So I'll use myself for example. I have leadership and entrepreneurship is one of my pillars. I have women empowerment for another one of my pillars. I obviously have personal branding as another one of my pillars. And I have spirituality and light work as one of my pillars. I also have a whole other host of things I could talk about with a lot of depth and passion, like my marriage. That's private. I don't really share Brian, my husband, often online. It's just a choice that we have made in our relationship. That is sacred. I have been through a lot of my own health crises. I had an autoimmune disease for most of my 30s. I'm very well adept in holistic modalities, peptides, you know, hormone therapy, holistic medicine. I don't talk about that often because that's not what I want my audience to come to me for. I'm not a health coach. I give back to, you know, tons of organizations for my faith. I'm Jewish. Big passion for animals. I'm involved in like the Humane Society. I'll sprinkle that stuff in, but I don't make that the cornerstone of my platform. None of that, because leadership, personal branding, women empowerment, and spirituality is what I want my audience to really know me for and to connect with. This powers my business, but it also serves. And so it doesn't belong all of it on the table. You get to decide. And so the hologram and all of my work, while it's personal branding work, it's personal empowerment work at its core.
I love that, because as you're like figuring out your personal brand, you're really figuring out what you want to stand for in the world.
Absolutely.
If you were given a mic, what you want to say to the world.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm. And it can change because you change, right?
That's the next quick thing that I was actually going to ask you.
Yeah.
Because when I think about what is that for me, I can feel into what that would be now, but it definitely hasn't been like that. Like it's always been evolving. You know, if you'd have asked me that like a few years ago, completely different pillars.
Yeah.
Completely different
Mine too.
Brand, right?
Yeah.
So I'm sure there's tons of people listening that are like, well, how do I get there? Because I feel like I'm just constantly evolving. And you said that consistency is really important. So like, how do we balance that? Like, I need to have consistency with like, well, I'm always evolving. What if I want to pivot?
Yeah.
This might not be my thing forever.
Yeah. So a couple of things. I mean, you have to give yourself permission to change. Like, don't get so stressed out that you have to pick. You're not building like Coca-Cola or Hyatt, you know, or Starbucks that are brands forever and need to stay the way. That way you are a person and you're always going to be changing. Mm-hmm. But I would say that you have to stick to it if you really want to compound for at least a minute. Because if you're constantly changing, your audience is going to have nothing to really hold on to. Mm. They're not going to know exactly what you stand for. And you know as much as I do, there's another chapter in my book. It's called It's a Long Game. You have to really stick to your script for a certain period of time to compound awareness and to create that story. One of the things I also say in my book is you are who you say you are over and over and over and over again. That's how the market starts to know what you want them to know you for. You get to write it. So you tactically speaking, I'd give yourself at least 6 to 12 months to really stick to your narrative. And it's going to change. You're no longer talking about smoothies and yoga. You're talking about being a mother. Mm. You're evolving as a human being all the time. So should your brand. So just give yourself a little bit of slack on the stress on that question, but also know that there is so much power and consistency, and there should potentially be things like spirituality will never change from my message.
Right.
Ever.
Same.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's okay to modulate the hologram as you grow.
Hey guys, just want to briefly interrupt this episode to tell you about Yoni Pleasure Palace. So Yoni Pleasure Palace is where I go to for all of my sensual and self-pleasure practice needs, from yoni eggs to crystal wands. So today I want to tell you about this brand new addition, this gorgeous golden G-spot toy. It's going to help you have deeper orgasms in your self-pleasure practice. I highly, highly recommend. Head over to yonipleasurepalace.com. Use the code Melissa to get 25% off your entire order. That is the best discount you're going to find online. You're going to have such an incredible time with these toys. It's going to add so much more to your self-pleasure practice. All right, let's get back to the conversation.
We've not really spoken about like brand aesthetic yet. How important is that in terms of like the visual appeal? Because we've spoken a lot about the message and who we are and what we're bringing from ourselves.
Yeah.
What about how it looks?
I mean, we're visual creatures, and that doesn't make us vain. That, again, makes us human. We process visual information 60,000 times faster in our brains than written text. So looks matter. And I don't say that to stress people out either, but you have to be intentional with your look and feel. They go together, messaging and visuals. And I mean, I think there's so much power and consistency with visuals as well. Our color is yellow, right? I picked that.
I got that. And it's been yellow
forever,
for a long time.
It's from day one. And it was a happy accident. Like, I was actually going to make my business a Snapchat consult. This is a long story from years and years ago. I loved that color. It was sunny. It was bright. Represented not only Snapchat, but like the sun and radiance and confidence and authenticity. And so I dropped the Snapchat shit, and then yellow stuck. And I'm so consistent with yellow, and it has actually proven to be an amazing business strategy. Like, I get noticed by celebrities and influencers in the media. I get clients. My community tags me like, Jessica Zweig needs this dress. They're at like Target. They see a yellow dress.
I was actually expecting you to show up in a yellow dress today.
I don't wear yellow. I have a lot of yellow in my closet, but no. I try and switch it up, but My platform is yellow, you know, and it stands out, not just because, and this is really the point I want to make to your community, is not because it's a bright color. You could choose any color, font, you know, imagery, photography style, texture. It's really just about consistency, right? Your brand is super consistent, like from your Instagram grid to your website, to your programs, to the way you dress. Like, it's all connected and cohesive. So there really is no wrong choice. I mean, you hire a designer, go on 99 Designs, play on Pinterest, find the colors, the fonts, the photography style, the fashion style that really resonates with you, what lights you up, what makes you feel like you. And then lean into that and stay the course and see what happens.
I love that. It feels like there's also a message here of like, we're putting our best foot forward. So we're like, what is going to represent the best side of me, or the side that I most enjoy being and most want to be?
Totally. Mm. And that goes along with like waking up to who you are and feeling comfortable in your own skin and doing the work and really unraveling the pieces that are no longer in alignment. That's really like the art of personal branding, in my view, is really getting clear on you. What makes you, you? And that does get expressed in what you wear. That does get expressed in your logo. That does get expressed in your Instagram photography. Of course it should.
Yeah.
And then when you're in that state of alignment, that feels so beautiful to bring to life. I mean, look at this. I mean, it's an expression of your heart and you. Like, of course it's doing well, you know? That's what happens.
I love that. Thank you.
Yeah.
Can I ask you something?
Sure.
Would you come and speak to my mastermind girls, the queendom,
all of this? I would be honored. I would love to.
I would love for them to get to speak to you about all of this, because all of them are building personal brands. They're refining their message, their look and feel for what they're putting out into the world. And I would love for them to connect with you.
I'd be honored. And I'll give them all books. My gift. No, truly. Because so my book is really that how-to, and then I'll bring it to life. Let's talk. I would love that.
So speaking of the book, we have a copy here, Be a No Bullshit Guide to Increasing Your Self-Worth and Net Worth by Simply Being Yourself. What a gem. And I was reading through this morning, and I was like, wow, you know, it's been a while since I really enjoyed reading a business book. Like most business books on the market, I find to be very formulaic.
Yeah.
Quite, you know, not that masculine is a bad thing, but like for someone that's very in the feminine energy, sometimes the business building books I just find can be just too much. I'm just like, oh, I'm bored. 100. Not appealing, right?
Totally.
I need something more soulful. And this is a book about how to build your personal brand, but it's also, you can feel like the love and the soul and the empowerment in this book as well. So for everyone listening, can you give us like a takeaway from the book, like in terms of like a practice or a ritual, something that we can do practically today to start increasing our personal brand and start improving our personal brand? Maybe something that we can do daily or weekly, something like that.
Okay. This work is hard. You know, it's hard to do this in a vacuum and assess and analyze yourself. So there's a practice at the beginning of the book where I encourage the reader to find 3 to 5 people that they know and love the best, ideally a mix of relationships. So someone that knows you professionally, like a client or a team member or a mentor, and a mix of personal, like a best friend or a partner. And you ask them all the same exact question. And it's meant to be a little esoteric and for them to think. And the question is, what is my unique intrinsic value? That's the question. And you just want to leave it there and have them write down their answer. So don't just tell it to you over the phone, but write it in an email or send it on a text. And first of all, this work can, I've seen people's lives change from this one exercise, because to be held a mirror up of how beautiful and amazing and unique and talented you are from people who know you that you would never say about yourself is a game. It can be a game changer, but it's also incredibly illuminating. Like, wow, I do bring these things to the table, and this is consistent. Everyone's sort of saying the same thing, or it's all over the place, and that's amazing too. And these are things you never ever thought about or considered. And that begins the foundation of your message. And that's in the beginning of the book. So I would recommend that everyone, hopefully they pick up the book, but you could just do that exercise in your own life. Ask 3 to 5 people, what is my unique intrinsic value, and see what you get back. And that will not only inform potentially your content, but your confidence.
Beautiful.
Yeah. And then practices. I have this chapter at the end of the book called the 10 Evergreen Principles of Social Media. So I'm kind of a dinosaur. Like, I've been around for a long time. Again, I'm older than I look. And I really believe, because I got on Facebook in 2008, okay, at the dawn of this whole game, in Twitter. There was no Instagram, Pinterest, LinkedIn. It was like a different world. And I really believe that the principles that worked back then of like how to truly grow authentic community, create great content, power your business through it, it hasn't really changed. Like, lots of algorithms have changed and new functionality on the apps have come about, but the core principles of why social media works is the same, in my opinion. And so one of my favorite principles that is in the book that I believe to this day is the principle of quality. We get really caught up with quantity, metrics, engagement, numbers, followers, shares, all of the things. Mm. But at the end of the day, if you talk to 50 people, that's 50 people. Those are human beings that have souls, that have emotions, that are there for you. And to never forget that quality is really, truly the whole point of creating connection, value, real relationship. And so that would be my daily practice to your community, because we all get caught up in it. Like, this picture didn't get as many likes as I wanted it to, or why does she have more followers and I'm not there yet? It doesn't fucking matter. Like, what matters is you have human beings that are engaged with your platform. What a beautiful gift. And so focus on quality.
I love that. I personally love that because you're speaking to something that I've always felt, which is do less, but better.
Yeah.
Right? Which is about quality. And I think in this day and age, there is so much pressure to like be constantly putting out new stuff.
Totally.
And I think when we do that, when we're just focused on like, I just need to post like twice a day or even just once a day, or like I need to be posting this amount of reels all the time, it can decrease the quality
totally.
Of what we're putting out there because we're just putting something out to put something out.
Yes. And you start to feel sort of tired and uninspired by it just because you're doing it to do it versus like thinking about each and everything you share has a purpose. Mm-hmm. You know, pour your heart into it. Bring your energy. Who cares if it doesn't get the engagement that you wanted it to? If you poured your soul into that piece of content and came from intention, the right people are going to resonate with that. You know, it's so true. When I share something I think will blow up and it doesn't, it's like, but the 16 comments that I got, those are my people and they all resonated with it. And they DM'd me to thank me and they screenshotted the caption, not the picture, and shared it. Like, it's just fascinating when you really start to focus on quality and remembering that there are human beings on the other side of their phones consuming your content. That's speak to them, reach in and get in touch with that. And you will never post a wrong piece of content ever. It's all about service and quality. I love
that. Absolutely. And if you are comparing yourself to someone else on the internet, just remember there's probably a bunch of people that are comparing themselves to you.
Yes.
You know, like you are probably really inspiring to a bunch of people that you've never even met before just by being yourself.
Yes.
And I wish people would realize that more, you know, when they look up to people and they're like, wow, like this person's so inspiring or this person's so amazing. I'm like, you are.
You are.
And you don't even realize, just by being yourself,
right.
You are so inspiring just by sharing your journey and your story.
You're more inspiring than you even know. And when you really attune to people who, you know, have a large following or you would say is a comparative type of person, For me, like, it's really, I don't want you to worship me. I want you to worship yourself.
No.
I want to stand for you loving and being yourself. Mm. If anything, I'm a permission slip. That's it. And I said this at the end of my book, and I really fucking believe this will be my next book. But you actually don't, I believe, have a choice or an option to not be seen in the light, no matter how you define that. It's not something you can be like, maybe in this lifetime I'll play big and full out and risk and be of service and share my gift. Maybe I'll do that. Maybe I won't. I'll see. Maybe when the time is right. You are assigned. You have a responsibility. The world needs exactly what you have and no one else has it because no one is you. We all have unique DNA that came from the cosmos when we incarnated here to live out, to change. We're all a pond in a ripple, like a pebble in a pond, each and every person. You don't have to be Oprah Winfrey or Tony Robbins. You could be a freaking barista and you can change people's lives every day, you know? And when we really tap into that and we turn on that understanding, it becomes so much more effortless because we're so fucking motivated to serve, to use what we've got with this very small time we have. If you think about it, in the infinite, 80, 90 years, if you're lucky, that's nothing.
Yes.
So use it.
Girl, you're speaking to my soul.
It's true.
Beautiful. I love that. I love that as a final message out into the world. So Jessica, what is something that you are loving right now?
It's what just came up from is loving my husband.
Cute.
But like, we've been together for 10 years and we've been on a journey. It's been up, it's been down. And we are actually working with the most amazing relationship coach, and we just hired her within the last year. And, you know, as someone that has been with the same person for 10 years, it's a marathon. And and this is gonna sound so fucking cheesy, but like, I've never loved him more. I've never felt more committed to our partnership. I've never looked at him more like my king. I've never appreciated how attractive he is. Our relationship has transformed.
Wow.
And honestly, maybe certain women can relate to this, maybe not. But when you are an entrepreneur, a female entrepreneur, and you're pouring your heart and soul into your business, things sort of get deprioritized. And I've always, I can't live without my husband. He's amazing. He's my best friend. But he hasn't been at times always like number one. My business has been. And he's great. And he's accepted that about the woman he chose, passionate, driven, you know, entrepreneurial. But that has really shifted. And I have never felt more peace in my relationship. And that's after 10 years together.
That is so inspiring, so beautiful. And I think also it just speaks to the power of asking for support.
Yes.
As well.
Yes. When you find your person, you know, it's not a fantasy. It's the hardest thing that I've ever done, harder than running a business, but so the most worth it. And shout out to Annie Lala. Hope she doesn't get too busy for us because she's amazing. She came in, this is the last thing I'll share. I think you'll really appreciate this. On our very first session, we were in a crisis and we called her, got referred, and she gave us a free hour. And it was sort of meta because I was like witnessing her coaching, like is the best coaching I'd ever seen. And I was like, who is this person? While also trying to receive her coaching. And she said, I am not here for you, Jessica, and I'm not here for Brian. I am here for the organism of your relationship. And I will be the ambassador of your love for each other. And she's changed our marriage. She has.
That is so beautiful.
Yeah. Mm. Special.
I'm going to look this woman
up. I'll give you her info.
And something that turns you on.
Oh, gosh. What turns me on? I think passion. I'm a little naughty and kinky. So fun turns me on. I think people who are like fully expressed, doing the work, fully embodied, unapologetic, that people like that are sexy. They're magnetic. Yeah. They have a pull to them. Whether you like fully get it or not, there's like something about them that is so real that it like gives you life.
I love that.
Yeah.
And when was a recent time you experienced magic?
So I just came off of a 2-week ketamine treatment, super groundbreaking medicine for mental health. And I'm going to cry. So it was 6 treatments, 2 weeks in a row. And in one of the journeys, I went and found my little girl. And fell in love with her like she was my own daughter in a way I never have honored her or appreciated her. And she went through a lot of trauma, and I haven't had her back most of my life. I displaced and bypassed my healing to forgive my parents first, versus going in and holding her and taking care of her. And I realized in that journey that I have been her spirit guide, but she's been mine. Mm-hmm. And that was magical.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is truly beautiful. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you for letting me share that.
Well, Jessica, it's been so wonderful to have you here on the show. Where can everyone come and find you, check out your work, your book, follow you online? Tell us all the things.
It's been equally wonderful, Mel. I love you. I feel like such a connection to you, and I'm so happy to be on your show.
Thank you.
So you can find me at jessicazweig.com. It's my personal brand website. You can look up my business at simplybeagency.com. It's all about Simply Be Agency's personal branding services. You can find me on Instagram. I'm just at jessicazweig. That's where I spend most of my time. And you can find my book, Be, pretty much everywhere. Books are sold, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Target, support your local bookstores, and would love it if you came and said hi.
Beautiful. Thank you so, so much, Jessica. It's been an honor.
Thank you. Likewise.
So, my loves, I hope that you loved that episode. If you did, please do share it on Instagram. I would love to see your story tags of you listening to the episode. We love to hear which episodes you guys have loved the most. Please also make sure that you leave us a juicy review on Apple, iTunes, or the podcast app, because that means so much to me and it really helps this podcast spread far and wide. So thank you so much for listening. I love you. I hope your week is filled with love, sex, and magic, and I'll see you next time.